I think when you reach a certain point of career stature, you should do that. Now, what's interesting is we saw Bill Cosby do that during the height of the Cosby Show, and he let his show continue to go on, and his co-stars did, and he never re-entered the race. But then you get into a case of like Candace Bergen, which I think is hilarious. She used to win almost every year for Murphy Brown. She grandly takes herself out of the race in primetime after 5 wins, I think it was. And then she put herself back in for Boston Legal. And then she takes herself out 1 year. She flip-flops all the time. In Tony Geary's case, you know, Nelson and I are backstage in that press room. Yeah, everybody moans, like, oh, he won again, There's no excitement for that anymore. And I am aware of how he's lost his fan base, kind of worn out his welcome. I think it would do him good to step aside, yeah. But on the other hand, if you look over soap opera history and you have to say, all right, without knowing much about the genre, not knowing much about the shows, and I just want to think what feels really right about who should have won the most Emmys in history, Tony Geary's a good one to hold that crown. So right. If he wins number 7 this year, there's something good about that.
Welcome to Daytime Confidential's 2009 Daytime Emmy Predictions Podcast. Joining me today to discuss who they believe will take home this year's big awards are TV Guide Canada's Nelson Branco, The Envelope's Tom O'Neill, and our very own Jamie Giddens. Welcome to each of you.
Welcome.
Hey.
Tom, you are an author of a book on the Emmys. You're an award show expert. What are you looking forward to with this year's Daytime Emmys?
Well, I think it would be really exciting on the soap opera side to see Bold and the Beautiful win Best Drama Series, as many pundits are predicting, because, of course, it's a half-hour show that has had to go up against one-hour rivals in the past. It's never won. It would be a nice breakthrough for a deserving show.
Nelson, what are you looking forward to this year?
Well, I'll have to see if they actually get on air. I mean, it's been such an arduous journey up to this point. I'm looking forward to like seeing everyone and seeing the industry. I mean, we've taken so many hits this year. You know, I think the Guiding Light tribute is probably, you know, what viewers are most looking forward to. I know the whole cast of Guiding Light is flying out to L.A. And hopefully they'll probably be looking, hitting people up for jobs. A lot of jobs are booked at these things. So, and they have, you know, well, half the cast of all my children, if they decide not to go to L.A., will probably look for jobs and, of course, Guiding Light. But, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Jamie, what are you looking forward to this year with the Daytime Emmy Awards?
I am looking forward to seeing if I can get one of the gift bags. You know, I'm just trying to get some swag. This is probably the first and the only one I'll get to go to. So, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, after a year and some change, a year and a half of doing DC and not meeting anyone in the industry except for one person, it'll be really cool to get out there and actually put, you know, maybe I'll get punched in the face by some of the people, but I don't know. No, I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll be a celebratory time, even though with everything we've gone through, I'm interested in wanting to find out what these gentlemen believe will be the winners when the Golden Ladies are handed out. So I think we should dive into that.
Oh, most definitely.
Let's maybe start. Brian Franz will offer you a head writing job at General Hospital, Jamie, when you need to.
You know what? I actually could fix GH. I honestly would turn down all my children at this point. I would be like, I don't know what to do. You know, bring a tsunami this time. I don't know. But
let me say, actually, for I guess I don't know. But I've been to the Emmy since every year since 93, covering them since 95. I have to say, every year, Tom O'Neill has always sat next to me, and he's not going to be attending this year, so it'll be very odd to be at the last Emmys without my partner in crime.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm buying an apartment in New York City, and it's closing around then, and I'll be moving in, so that's a priority, a $500,000 apartment or go to the Daytime Emmys, I think I have to do The Apartment.
Yeah, gotta do what you gotta do.
Understandable. Tom, you've written the book The Emmys, which is available on Amazon. People can subscribe to it. They can also read your column at theenvelope.com, which is an LA Times website. Tell us a little bit about your award show coverage at The Envelope.
Well, it actually spans all of the awards, but the Emmys are by far my favorite. And so I think the decline that the Daytime Emmys have taken lately are one of the great changes going on in the showbiz scene lately. You know, the television is the most powerful medium and the most relevant medium in the world. The Emmy is its most important award, and it has done such things as, you know, save TV shows like Santa Barbara a couple of times when it was about to go off the air, when it won Best Drama Series. Shows like $10,000, later $20,000 Pyramid on the game show side. And in primetime, everything from Cheers to Hill Street Blues and All in the Family. This award has rewarded low-rated sleepers and quality shows enough to keep them on the air and make a big difference in TV history, because it's the only award in all of show business that forces its voters to watch a sample submitted by the nominee of their best work. Now, we know Oscar voters don't watch everything. You would have to listen to 400 pieces of music to be an informed Grammy voter, and they're, of course, not doing that. But the Emmys have something noble about them. Now, we all have problems with the voting process at the Daytime Emmys, and they're changing it every year. But basically, the notion of careful scrutiny and policed by the Academy is a great thing. So it's a shame to see the decline of Daytime Emmys, but I think that that's going to force all of us to take the primary focus off of the soaps, maybe not the primary focus, but so much exclusive focus. And there's the rest of daytime. There's all those talk shows. There's all those judge shows. There's all those other Emmys, and they do get handed out. I think we as pundits need to start paying more attention to them to whip up excitement in those races so that people tune into the Daytime Emmys more than just for the dying soap genre.
Do you think, Tom, that such instances as maybe Susan Lucci finally winning her award and Oprah taking herself out of the running kind of helped as a negative PR thing? Kind of, I guess what I'm trying to say, there used to be buzz about, you know, Oprah winning again and Susan Lucci not winning again. Do you think that now that since there's not a horse race, you know, we basically know with the other categories that Ellen is going to win every year. How do you think that the daytime community could build interest again?
I think it starts with us as bloggers and starts with people who listen to this podcast to care more about all these other races. You know, the whole Susan Lucci finally winning and that putting, you know, being the coffin in the nail of the Daytime Emmys is a myth, I think. You can look at the Nielsen ratings of the Daytime Emmy show after her win. They stayed very high for a long time after her win, and then they started declining for a variety of reasons. I think primarily the fact that the TV Academy, when the president of the New York-based TV Academy was probably inebriated one day at lunch. We know who we're talking about, right, Nelson? And he agreed to let the show go on Friday nights when that's, you know, lowest ratings of the year and of the week. And there were all kinds of blunders made with this show. You know, when Oprah bowed out, but Ellen stepped in, and that was exciting, and Rosie O'Donnell was exciting. Those factors of Oprah and Lucci played a part, but I don't think they played as much of a part. I think that's the easy answer we're all looking for. I think that the decline of soaps and the viewership has played a part in all of that, and I think blundering on behalf of the TV Academy played the biggest role in terms of scheduling this show.
I think Oprah and the Susan Lucci factor took some of the mainstream attention coverage away. You know, like once they put Susan Lucci on the cover of People with her Emmy, people stopped sort of, like, you know, the mainstream world sort of stopped buzzing about the Daytime Emmys. Rosie and Ellen, of course, brought some attention, but I also think, you know, I agree with you. Actually, I have a question for you, Tom, because I've been thinking about this. Should Daytime finally die, or Daytime soaps die? I hear that they may not air the Emmys just for the talk shows. I mean, they'll still have them, the ceremony, but they may not air it. What do you think about that, if there's only two or three soaps left?
I know that's very well what might have to happen if there's not the interest in in the other awards. Because, look, on the talk side, Ellen wins automatically all the time for the most part, of course. There just isn't the suspense in the race there. I think the poor quality of daytime programming, the kind of repeat home service shows, judge shows, talk shows, there's not enough excitement about them. And there's just so much alternate programming during the day that in these viewership of any of these shows is so small.
And look, the hottest show on daytime this past year was The View, and they weren't even nominated for Best Show. In these stupid categories, Outstanding Entertainment Talk Show, Outstanding Informative, you know, how is Tyra Banks' show informative? You know, and how is Rachel Ray entertainment? I mean, that's stretching the truth a bit. So, you know, I think these categories, I think they just have one talk show category. Bring the five nominees back. And I mean, The View is not nominated. Yes, the ladies are nominated for Outstanding Host, but they had the best talk show last year with the presidential election. They actually affected change, you know, got people informed and got the issues out there for America to make, you know, an informed decision and, you know, I think helped bring more people to the polls. I watched The View's submission, and it was the John McCain interview, which, you know, was a YouTube sensation. You know, they interviewed John McCain and his wife. So, and it was an amazing show. So I have no idea how they went and picked Rachel Ray. You know, maybe.
No, you're right. That shows how screwed up the system can get.
At The Envelope, you had some predictions posted about Darren Brooks versus Brighton McClure, which was a feature that you had up there from readers, because you're very active on The Envelope and Gold Derby. Tell us about your dealings at Gold Derby and The Envelope.
Because of the posters on our message boards being so cooperative and devoted to this tracking of the Daytime Emmys, what Nelson and I participated in it, about 7 or 8 years ago, Nelson, where I mounted a nuclear attack against the TV Academy to get the actual episode submissions available to all of us journalists. We won that battle, although it was quite a smackdown. And now the Academy is so gracious and helpful, I must say. They're fantastic. They give us lots of different, I think I got a whole set of three maybe this year, of discs, of DVDs, of all of the submissions. So at The Envelope, what we've done in the message boards is I've deputized quite a few people, our posters, and they watch the actual episode submissions submitted by the nominees. They share the discs among each other. And then at the blog, the Gold Derby blog, I've been taking two of them in pairs, as you were referring to in the Darren Brooks, Brighton McClure example. And one of them argues this nominee versus that nominee based on viewing of the episodes. But what I find each time I post another one of these is there's no consensus in these races. Somebody may rank Darren Brooks number one and the other guy ranks him four. It's shocking.
We were just discussing the younger actor categories at The Envelope. We would encourage you to check that out. Jamie, who do you believe will win the Outstanding Younger Actor Award?
In my opinion, Blake Barris from Days of Our Lives. I mean, Luke, you know.
Yep.
I blogged about him quite often. I think Blake was amazing in the scenes where he finally admits to Melanie that he killed her father. Days historically doesn't win Emmy Awards. I mean, they haven't in, God, what, a long, long time since it's been a Days actor. I don't expect Blake to. I would love it, but I think with Cornelia Smith, I think the fact that his reel and his storyline is attached to the return of Jesse and Angie, I think he could snare this award. I think he's a good actor. He's a strong actor. So I think Blake Barris should win. I think Cornelia Smith Jr. will win.
Nelson?
Well, yeah, this category is a snooze fest. And obviously the people who are deserving of this award aren't even nominated. But I'm going to say, I think Cornelia Smith is going to win this, you know, not to bring race into it, but African-Americans have really done well in this. If you remember, Kevin Mambo won three, three awards in a row, and then Monty Sharp. So it'll be nice to bring some color back to this category. I think it'll be Cornelius, and, you know, people know him as Darnell Williams' on-screen son, so I think that's going to help him a lot. And his reel was really good. But I would be happy, I would say should and will win for Cornelius. But I would be fine with Darren and Blake winning. I want to make more Blake. But I have to say that, you know, I want Brighton McClure, who, by the way, just changed his name yet again. He went from Brighton McClure to just Brighton, and now he's changed his name to Brighton James. I mean, he's won one, but he's been nominated. Like, I can't wait till the guy turns 25. I mean, he's been nominated like 10 times. It's like, so, but, you know, the Academy likes him. Like, his cast likes him. So, and EJ, I think the nomination was enough for him. But you never know. You know, anything can happen with these damn things.
I actually picked Brighton McClure. I think he'll be the one who wins it, but the person who I want to win it and who should win it, I'm with Jamie. I think Blake Barris should win it, but we will see how it all turns out. Jamie, who do you have for Outstanding Younger Actress, should win and will win?
The nominees for Outstanding Younger Actress are Meredith Hagner from As the World Turns, Rachel Melvin from Days of Our Lives, Kirsten Storms from General Hospital, and Julie Marie Berman from General Hospital, and then Emily O'Brien for The Young and the Restless. I have a will and a should for this one. Before going into this, when I first heard the nominees, I was so excited about Rachel Melvin because I do think she's a really great little actress. I hated her character and, you know, fondly called her the snapping turtle. But I always thought she was an amazing actress. But after seeing the reels, Kirsten Storms in the scenes where Maxie ripped into Felicia, her mother, for abandoning her, basically. I mean, there's no comparison with these other ladies, in my opinion. I think Kirsten Storms should win and will win.
Okay.
What about you, Nelson?
Yeah, I agree. Kirsten Storms, all the way, baby. I think she has the best reel. I know Julie's reel was impressive as well. I think it's going to be a horse race between Kirsten and Julie, who, you know, play rivals on General Hospital. I wouldn't be upset if Rachel won. You know, she has a lot of buzz right now. She's on Heroes, and she's just landed that series, miniseries Sin. Of course, you know, these were all the winners were chosen in the one nomination round. So, yeah, I definitely Kirsten, I think, all the way. And, you know, she was snubbed last year. There was a huge upset that she wasn't nominated in last year. Oh, sorry, for the year 2007, she wasn't nominated in 2008. And, you know, I think this will be her retribution.
Now, Tom, I'd like to ask you a question. I've heard varying things about this phenomenon. I know that certain actresses like Sarah Michelle Gellar and Jennifer Finnegan have won the Outstanding Younger Actress and have gone on to primetime and film success. But then I've heard other people say or make jokes about it that the daytime Emmy doesn't really count for them in terms of viability outside of daytime. As an expert, what has been your experience with that? Could winning the Outstanding Younger Actress Emmy for one of these ladies on Emmy night and make the difference in, you know, propelling them to higher heights?
I think it helped with Sarah Michelle Gellar's case. See, where it helps is that we're all looking at the wrong thing when we ask this question. We're looking for that big payoff where, you know, somebody wins an Oscar and they become a superstar. That doesn't happen in this case, but it doesn't happen out on the in the public arena. It happens behind closed doors where Sarah Michelle Gellar uses the Emmy win as leverage to, you know, to get that part on Buffy. We'll never know what part that played in her getting that role. And even if it was just a 10% consideration, the fact that she had been blessed by the industry in daytime to get that matters. Judith Light, you know, there are some people that have crossed over and won Emmys in both primetime and daytime. Not that many, but where the Emmy matters is contract renewals, program renewals like Santa Barbara, as we talked about before, getting these stars better salaries when they negotiate raises, and in small ways, but when they get their next role. But it doesn't happen in big ways, I'm afraid.
What I'd like to ask both of you, you're both a veteran celebrity journalist here. I can remember when Sarah won her daytime Emmy, and this was pre-Buffy fame. This was still, I think she had left the soap at this point, but she hadn't gone on to anything big yet. They featured her in People magazine, And it's just, and I remember like singing, you know, not now we see the Cameron Mathesons and the Susan Lucci's. Why do you think there's kind of been with the mainstream press, we don't see, you know, some of the, you know, middle tier soap stars featured in like the back pages or anything like that anymore? Do you think that phenomenon has helped like cause the buzz for daytime to go down?
That's a good question.
Well, I've got an answer. I think that we journalists are snobs who run these magazines. I'm also a senior editor of In Touch Weekly. It's run by Richard Spencer, who was a former editor of a couple soap magazines. He has a reverence and respect and love of soap stars. That's rare. When you look at the other magazines like People and Us Weekly, etc., they poo-poo the daytime stars across the board, not just the soaps. Yeah, and that has a residual cumulative effect. You're right that it hurts.
Well, if Susan Lucci was nominated again and she won by some miracle, you know, I don't think she's going to have two miracles in her lifetime. But if she had won, if she wins again down the road, I think, you know, people will definitely would do a story on her. I'm surprised people didn't make a big deal of, you know, Jeannie Cooper winning at 80 years old. I mean, we're in this youth-obsessed world right now and market, and I think her win last year was really inspiring. And like Tom knows, she was Susan Lucci of daytime. I mean, she won a Lifetime Achievement Emmy a few years back, but that really doesn't count. I have one, you know. But and by the way, Jamie, I'm too young to be called a veteran. I'm joking.
Yeah,
Tom's old enough, believe me.
Ooh.
Oh, sounds like fighting words.
But you know,
Eileen Davidson's book, Death at the Emmys.
But these publicists, too, you know, I'm going to be a little tough on them. You know, I don't really think they're calling the magazines out and saying, you know, in the mainstream world, people watch primetime and film. So they know, we know the stories to pitch, and we kind of do the homework. But these people have no idea, like, you know, who Brighton James is. So, you know, these publicists, I think, have to be a little bit more proactive in getting this stuff out and doing the homework for these editors. You know, this is why you should feature Jeannie Cooper. You know, her son's Corbin Burnson, and he was there. And, you know, she's been nominated, you know, I don't know, how many times has she nominated Tom? Like, 10, like almost 10, right?
For the, probably, yeah.
Before she won, yeah. So that was kind of a big story. So, yeah, I think, you know, the publicists are a little bit to blame as well.
Yeah, it's funny, as you were saying that, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, the publicist should have been pitching her to More Magazine or something like that. Yeah. Well, before we go to the next...
Let me tell you an example. This is a great example. Leslie Kay, one of my friends is a big jeweler, and my friend is outfitting her with jewels, and so she got her Lloyd Klein dress, and she decided to videotape her, I guess, putting on dresses at Lloyd Klein's store, and she decided to do it at Felicia. Like, Felicia, she's going to not playing herself, she's playing what it would be like if Felicia was going to the Emmy Awards. And they're filming it, and they're posting it on SoapDigest.com and CBS.com, and that was completely her idea. So it's like, you know, these stars are kind of having to fend for themselves. And,
having to be their
and
own.
That's a kind of unique idea. I think anything we'll see in the mainstream arena will be more like, you know, what will they wear, you know, instead of really about the work or their career.
Okay, well, before we move on, Luke, who do you think will win and should win the Outstanding Younger Actress this year at the Daytime Emmys?
Well, I want...
Chapman.
Yeah. Of course, Nelson. Of
Someone
course.
Listens to our show.
Exactly. Of course, I want Kirsten Storms to win. I think that she deserves it immensely, but I think Julie Marie Berman will win. Seeing her opposite of what should be Laura, I mean, even if it's just there in the rocking chair, those scenes meant so much. And I think that she might have a Luke and Laura halo that might just give her that little extra nudge, but we'll see. So I'm picking Julie Marie Berman to win it.
Well, okay. That's a good choice. That rocking chair, I'm surprised, didn't get an nomination.
The wig. You know, on message boards, they just called it the Laura wig. They were like, hey, she's talking to the Laura wig again. But
the chair's acting was very wooden. Ha, ha, ha.
Next, let's go on to Outstanding Supporting Actor. The nominees are Vincent Irizarry for All My Children, Jacob Young for All My Children, Van Hances for As the World Turns, Bradford Anderson for General Hospital, and Jeff Branson for Guiding Light. Nelson, who do you think's going to take it home?
Well, you know, I'm not too crazy about this category. You know, it's really hard to, you know, there's a problem when I have, I can't get excited about the Emmys, and, you know, they're my favorite award show, the Daytime Emmys. I think Jeff Branson, even though he was on the show for, you know, eligible for this award for, what, a month? He came in December?
Mm-hmm.
I think he has probably the best reel. But, you know, it's hard to say, should he win this? Vincent Irizarry had a bad tape. Jacob Young's, you know, was good, and he's won the Younger Actor Award. You know, it's some actors, it's hard for them to traverse into other categories. But it has been done before. Van Hanses' tape, I was, you know, not, it wasn't his strongest work, and I'm really surprised. I watched the pre-nomination reels in this category, and I'm surprised this is the final five. I don't know who these Academy members were, what these death panels, I like to call them now, how they chose, came up with this list. Bradford Anderson, you know, comedy doesn't really win a lot of Emmy Awards, as Tom knows. That was Susan Lucci's problem. She always submitted more comedic roles or reels. So I think it's Jeff Branson will win. I wouldn't mind seeing Bradford. Oh God, I'm going to get shot. Maybe Bradford. I wouldn't mind seeing Bradford win. I mean, I don't know. I think it would be a great moment if he won. Can you imagine his speech?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
It if he actually, accepted his Emmy as Spinelli, because he doesn't talk like that, obviously, right? You know, I wouldn't be upset if Vincent Irizarry, who's, you know, yes, this wasn't his year. He didn't have the greatest reel. But, you know, I can't believe Vincent Irizarry doesn't have an Emmy yet. And he's been in daytime for, you know, over almost 30 years. And if Van wins, that's great, too. So this is, I really don't care who wins, actually, in this category. But I think it's Jeff Branson. That's my long-winded answer.
Luke?
Well, I agree with Nelson. I think that Bradford Anderson's comedic stuff will not serve him well enough. And so because of that, I went with Jacob Young. I thought that his scenes surrounding the death of Babe were outstanding. And I can see Van Hanses winning just because of the mainstream popularity and the name recognition. But I think Jacob Young will win it. Bradford Anderson should win it, but comedy is going to not do him too well.
Well, Tom, I want to get you.
Let me jump in here. Yes. Okay. The posters at TheEnvelope.com, who have watched all of these reels, claim one of them says Van Hanses wins. The other one says Irizarry wins. That's how all over the map this category is.
Mm.
Yeah, we're so fans are like, we can't agree on anything. That's what's so great about this tree, you know. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Yeah, as for me, I really thought, you know, judging based on the reels, I'd have to give it to Jacob Young. But selfishly, I want Bradford Anderson. I mean, I'm a big Spixy fan, so they're showing my fanboy hat for a minute. Let's go on to Outstanding Supporting Actress. The nominees are Melissa Claire Egan from All My Children, Alicia Minshew from All My Children, Julie Pinson from As the World Turns, Tamra Braun from Days of Our Lives, and Bree Williamson from One Life to Live. Let's go with you first, Luke. Who are you hoping takes the Golden Lady in supporting actress?
I'm going to double down on Bree Williamson. I know a lot of people probably think Tamra Braun might take it, but when I was watching the clips again, it was just, I remembered how amazing those scenes were at the funeral, and I'm going with Bree Williamson. I think she should win it, and I think she will win it.
Nelson?
Now, yeah, this is a good category. Now, this is a race, so I'm getting excited now about this. I think Bree Williamson had the perfect Emmy reel. Like, this episode is what every actor hopes to have. All the elements are there. You know, she plays more, you know, she has a split personality, which the Academy, like, creams themselves over. She, you know, shows a wide range of emotions. You know, her husband died. I think it was the funeral episode. And she showed a huge range, and she was really riveting in the scenes. You know, some of her, I think she did her best work this year, but that was probably her, biggest moment, best moment up until, you know, I don't know how long she's been on the show, but 5 years. So that was her probably her best moment. of all time up until that point. So I think she will take this. You know, Erika Slezak has, what, 6 Emmys, and, you know, there's obviously something wrong. You know, if Bree Williamson has an Emmy and Aaron Torpe never got one, because I loved Aaron Torpe. But Tamara Brown was amazing in her reel. She was on Days of Our Lives for 5 minutes. she was, I mean, the material is really over the top, but Tamara did something amazing with it. She grounded it. And, you know, she's an amazing actress. And let's not forget, she's on 2 soaps last year, All My Children and Days. So she had, and then she used to be on GH. And she's been nominated in this, for an Emmy lead actress a few years ago. So she has 3 shows voting for her. So I'm wondering if, you know, they threw all that support towards her and she ended up being number one. But it's between Tamara and Brie for sure. Who should win? I'm going to shock people and I'm going to say Tamara. Who will win? Brie Williamson. But Julie Pinson is, I would keep my eye on Julie Pinson. She had a really subtle reel. There weren't any histrionics and, you know, I'm acting, you know. but, you know, it was, and, you know, sometimes the Academy likes that, you know, more reined in performances. It's a very subtle scene. Not a lot happens in the episode. But Julie did a really great job. You know, I think Julie probably, had she submitted maybe a better reel, really should have, you know, deserves this award. But I don't really see that happening.
Well, and you mentioned the 3 network type thing. That also goes for Julie Pinson,
yeah.
Too.
She's been on 20 shows, yeah.
Well, I agree.
And her husband Billy has an Emmy, too.
Yeah. Didn't he get one for Days? Yeah, he was like, wasn't he the last one? Yeah. Well, I agree with Nelson on this. I totally, totally believe that Tamara should win, even though, yes, it's classic Days in this, you know, anyone who can make a psychotic mafia wife who wants to, you know, ruin some man's life 30 years later and make that believable should be commended. Brie, I think, will get the win, though. Tom, let's talk about a phenomenon. I know Nelson and I have talked about this a lot, and I think we've talked about it on several podcasts. The phenomenon we have of the Alicia Minshew phenomenon, which is lead actresses putting themselves up for supporting. How does it look for critics outside of the soap world? Or, I mean, does that even catch you guys' eye? Or what is that? You don't really see that in, you can't see that in with the primetime Emmys or the Oscars, but what do you make of that phenomenon of lead actors putting themselves in lower categories, I guess, to better their chances?
Yeah, you see it at the Oscars all the time, actually, where I'm trying to think of a good example. With Jennifer Connelly in A Beautiful Mind, which won Best Picture, she was the lead in that, and she drops down to supporting. She wins there. Marcia Gay Harden was the lead in Pollock.
She put herself in lead for The Hours and ended up winning.
Yeah, she was really supporting in that case. Yeah. So you see, you know, she had less screen time than her co-stars. Yeah, I think it's strategic. They just want to win the statuette and they have a better chance. You always have a better chance of supporting.
But you know what? Let me say this happened around the time Eva LaRue and Maurice Bernard got their first nomination. They were lead, put themselves as supporting. They got the nomination, but I really think it's not a great strategy because they never end up winning. Usually people put themselves in the wrong category, have a hard time, you know, taking home the gold. You know, it happens, you know, obviously, but it's probably going to happen this year with Brie because Brie was a lead actress. I mean, no one can discount that. But, you know, at this point, are there supporting actors in daytime? Not really. You know, so it's just, you know, supporting actors are really the people like Carolyn Hennessy, who didn't get nominated, and I helped choose her reel this year, so.
And Kathleen Widows. And Kathleen Widows and, you know, basically the Greek
chorus
characters used to be, but now it's become such a dogfight. So, not that I'm calling this next group dogs, but I guess we'll go ahead and go up
Jamie Vick.
I'll play it again. No. All right. Let's go to Outstanding Lead Actor. The nominees are Torsten K, not Thorsten, from All My Children, Peter Reckle from Days, Anthony Geary from General Hospital, Daniel Cosgrove from Guiding Light, and Christian LeBlanc from The Young and the Restless. Nelson, let's talk about lead actor.
Lead actor. Well, Jamie and I are going to be experts on the red carpet show, so we've kind of already
done this today.
So let me repeat myself. Let's see, and I hope everyone tunes in to the CW to check us out.
I'm going to be sneaking over Gossip Girl to try to get a part. Okay, go ahead. Blair has a black brother they don't know about yet.
Well, we'll probably get more ratings than Guiding Light has. Let's see. Torsten K, Peter, Anthony, Daniel, Christian. This is, I'm not too excited about this category. I think Torsten hated his reel. He has no chance. Peter Reckle, even though I've been hard on the guy, had the best reel, which is shocking. This is his first nomination in a billion years. I think he should, and deserves to win this award. But, you know, we have Anthony Geary, who, you know, I don't know if Tom has seen this reel. Tom, I mean, he plays three roles. There's this dream kangaroo court sort of dream fantasy, and he plays the judge, the defense attorney, and the prosecutor.
And, we have a winner.
Yeah.
Multiple personality roles. I mean, look at Erika Slezak, the year she had six personalities. You win all
right.
the time for that.
Yeah, and his only problem is that it's a comedic episode. But I think Tony has done one before with some comedy. I mean, his character's always, you know, comedic. But, yeah, so he's playing three roles, and it involves the entire veteran cast. His Luke's family and the veterans on GH play the jury members. And while it's funny, it kind of brings up a lot of poor Charles's history, which, of course, we, you know, are desperate for in the show, and which, you know, the show's devoid of. So I think people may, you know, love seeing Jane Elliott and, you know, Jackie Zeman in that reel. I thought it was a solid, you know, it wasn't Anthony Geary's best reel ever, but it was kind of an interesting choice for him. And let's face it, he did make the top five with it, even though he's on, you know, the show for like 3 months now, this every year. What did I pick, Jamie? I put should Peter, and then I think will Anthony Geary, and which Tom will know this, he will become the most, you know, awarded actor in daytime Emmy Award acting history, because he'll win his seventh statue. Seven. You know, Erika Slezak, and like, fuck you! You know, and, you know, Justin Dees also has six in various categories. So, but, you know, Christian LeBlanc, I wasn't crazy about his reel because he, you know, it's the Wonderful Life episode, and he was kind of just reacting to everyone. He just kind of stood there, you know, like Jimmy Stewart. Didn't really emote. The focus wasn't on him, actually. It was actually on the supporting characters in his reel. So I'll be surprised if he wins. Of course, Christian should have won last year, and Anthony won last year. So the Emmys have a way of, you know, fixing, correcting,
paying people back.
So it'd be kind of interesting if Christian did win, and, you know, because he should have won last year, and Anthony shouldn't have won this year or last year. But so yeah, will Anthony should Peter, but watch out for Christian LeBlanc. Daniel's Cosgrove. Real. I think someone impressive that was really strong. I thought it was a really weak episode, and Torsten was, like, embarrassing.
Luke?
It's interesting that you mentioned that about the jurors, Nelson, because I was actually talking to Jamie about that. It's like both Anthony Geary and Christian LeBlanc seem to have every single strong actor on their show opposite of them in the scenes that they had. Anthony Geary had Nancy Lee Grahn, Laura Wright, John Engel, Jane Elliott, Julie Marie Berman, who's also nominated. Then he was, as you mentioned, the various personalities. I think that he will win it, but I think it will either be him or Christian. I'm going with Anthony just because of the fact of that, but it could just as easily go to Christian LeBlanc because for many of the same reasons, it seems like Christian's episode this year was sort of like the one last year for Anthony Geary. So that's who I'm going with.
Well, for mine, I am going to have to say that I think Peter Reckl should win, given the people that are nominated. I know we all have beat this like a dead drum. It's kind of sad when Eric Braeden and Trevor St. John aren't nominated. But given the actors that we have to go with, I think Peter's was the best. I think Christian will win because he's doing that I'm acting thing, and it seems to work for him. I don't know why. I like Christian LeBlanc, but I am starting to, you know, wear thin of the look at me, I'm acting. Tom, I wanted to get your thought on something. Oprah has taken herself out of the running for the best talk show and best talk show host category. There's been a lot of times when we, especially in the last year, I don't know if you probably don't log into message boards like we do, but with Tony Geary, he's kind of made a couple of career gaffes this past year that have kind of tarnished the Luke Spencer aura. He basically did an interview saying it was okay for Luke to have cheated on Laura and had an outside son. And of course, that has nothing to do with acting, but whereas you used to see this large fan outpouring that was happy every time he got nominated, now people are like, would he just stop? So I guess my question is, do you think there should ever be a time when soap actors should do the Oprah and just decide, okay, I have 25 of these statues now, let me, you know, move out of the way so that maybe some of the other people can get in the door?
Yeah, I think when you reach a certain point of career stature, you should do that. Now, what's interesting is we saw Bill Cosby do that during the height of the Cosby Show, and he let his show continue to go on, and his co-stars did, and he never re-entered the race. But then you get into a case of like Candace Bergen, which I think is hilarious. She used to win almost every year for Murphy Brown. She grandly takes herself out of the race in primetime after 5 wins, I think it was. And then she put herself back in for Boston Legal. And then she takes herself out 1 year. She flip-flops all the time. In Tony Geary's case, you know, Nelson and I are backstage in that press room. Everybody moans, like, oh, he won again, There's no excitement for that anymore. And I am aware of how he's lost his fan base. He's kind of worn out his welcome. I think it would do him good to step aside, yeah. But on the other hand, if you look over soap opera history and you have to say, all right, without knowing much about the genre, not knowing much about the shows, and I just want to think what feels really right about who should have won the most Emmys in history, Tony Geary's a good one to hold that crown. So right. If he wins number 7 this year, there's something good about that. It's like, that's a score I can live with.
See, this is the problem, though, with these actors have to stop submitting themselves when they don't deserve it. So he's won so many times when, it wasn't really his year. So I think, we'd feel better about it if he won those 7 in really 7 deserving years. Or 6 deserving years. We'll find out if it's 7 this month. But, I think they do kind of a disservice. I mean, I'm old school, so I think if you're the best actor of the year, you should put yourself in. I don't care. You have 20 Emmys. The best actor should win. Of course, that's not how it works. Like Jamie said, the 2 best actors last year, Eric Braeden and Trevor St. John, weren't pre-nominated by their cast because, they're not as popular. I don't think it's a huge secret that they're not as popular with their castmates. And, that hurts the Emmys, too. With a piggyback on the Oprah thing, if you want to save the daytime Emmys, I'd pay Oprah, now that she needs the money, to come back into this race. Of course, her crew is eligible for the categories. But, I think she should come back. I mean, or at least host the damn thing,
No.
Oprah should have had the Emmy. If they can find a network to air this damn thing, they should have had Oprah on her talk show.
Or her network.
I was going to say, or her network.
But it's hard. She has the Lifetime Achievement. I was there when she won the Lifetime Achievement Award. And she went backstage and she said, why would I submit myself when I've already won a Lifetime Achievement Award, even though that hasn't stopped Barbara Walters?
You touch on a good point. Maybe Tom could weigh in on this. What is the general consensus from people like Oprah? Have you heard anything from people like Oprah or Rosie O'Donnell who have had such great nights at this award. Are they, I mean, is there any intel on how they're feeling about it's possible, you know, the Emmys, you know, ceasing to exist in terms of being broadcast?
No, I don't think we know what Oprah thinks. She probably hasn't thought about it much. She's got her sights set on these great global views, which is one of the reasons we love Oprah so much. She's got that grand perspective. But those of us, like us, mere minions, the four of us who track this, it is kind of sad to just see it die a little bit more every year and then almost not get on TV. Thank God this whole deal with the CW worked out. But this is not the deal people think it is, by the way. This is not the CW broadcasting this, taking it out as a network. This show came to be this year by a bizarre situation of called packaging. This is what happened to the Golden Globes in its years when it was exiled off TV before it was picked up by first the Turner Broadcasting channels and then back on NBC. And that is, there are wholesale advertising groups that have purchased the Daytime Emmys and are selling off parcels of it to this network, this station, this advertiser, etc. And it just so happens to be on the CW. That's how precarious this show really is. It is not as it seems, a once stately award show landing on a third tier network, and hallelujah, at least it landed there. No. It's there by a fluke, and it's lucky to be there. Let's hope it pays off, and all of these sponsors are happy, and it stays there. But if it fails this year, in this bizarre house of cards built to prop it up, this may be the last Daytime Emmys ever in terms of being broadcast nationally in the grand way that we're all used to it. As Nelson mentioned earlier, it will go on. There will always be a ceremony. Mm-hmm. But it may be the death of the Daytime Emmys as we've come to know them.
That's why these publicists really should have been publicizing this. We really have to urge everyone to really watch. This year, you know, pretty much going to be, you know, it's pretty much, I think, not going to air next year. But, you know, still a chance, still hope. I want to ask Tom, like, what rating do you think it needs to, you know, to come back next year? I think, last year got, less than a 4.0?
I don't think the rating matters so much as just the, in this case, it's not so much about, it is about rating to some extent, but the deal that is putting this together, the packaging, it has to do well in the markets, because remember, this is not on every CW channel. This is those that are picked up, and it's also on some independent channels. It's hard to even describe how this deal came to be, but
it's almost like, it sounds like syndicated, or is it in some ways?
It's very much like syndicated, yeah. And so all the players involved have to be happy that they liked the positions of their commercials at this time during the show. A lot of that, it's complicated.
Yeah, and the CW doesn't get, you know, more than, you know, what the Gossip Girl gets, 3.5, maybe a 4.0 rating. I mean, that's probably the highest, that's box office success for the CW. So the ratings are going to be low regardless. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and they picked – it's funny. I'm looking here at the list of people, the presenters, and, you know, because I remember when it first came out, there was the assumption that we would see some Jensen Ackles, who, you know, went on from Days, and Bethany Joy, who went on from Bethany Joy Lenz, who went on from Guiding Light, and who are both now CW stars. But I'm looking at this, and it's more of the older CW stars, that we keep hearing are more demographically unfriendly. Like, we see Jenny Garth and Lori Loughlin are going to be there, you know, very popular actresses, but I assumed that we would see, but that explains a lot since this, you just really explained a lot for me since this isn't a real CW production. I was kind of wondering, why don't we see some of these Gossip Girl kids or somebody that they can use to promote this thing?
Mm-hmm,
Vanessa
mm-hmm.
Williams, I think, is a really odd choice for, you know, Beth Post with all, you know, James Romanovich. But I think even Tyra probably would have been a better choice, or Oprah or Ellen. I mean, let's get Ellen to host this damn thing. She's a great host, and she's funny. And
yeah, but you know what, though? If it does well on the CW and gets at least a basic good number, and I think it will, I think there's such a core following for this show that CW benefits from that. And if it just does well, and I think it probably will just because this – the followers of the show are going to follow the show, and CW will benefit from that. this could be the best marriage of all for the show, because this is the network that's known for the young viewership. The challenge for this genre of TV programming is to find the young viewers, get them excited and interested. So this could be a perfect match if it works, but it's a big if. It's almost like a soap opera cliffhanger all itself.
Ironic is that Vanessa Williams' co-star, Ugly Betty co-star, Judith Light, has two Emmys. So it'd be
I know! you know?
Yeah.
And people, you know.
An ABC star to host, primetime star to host the daytime Emmys. You know, this is kind of, I think this is, I don't think this has ever happened before, having a primetime comedic actress host the Emmy Awards. So we'll see if Vanessa Williams, I don't know how much of a big following Vanessa Williams has. I love her to death. But
I think she's really, she had a definite second wind with Ugly Betty. But I, in terms of, I would have picked Vivica Fox, Kelly Ripa, someone who is a graduate of daytime that, you know, could, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's
Kelly
an odd choice.
Great choice.
You know, I just,
Kelly
I
and
don't.
Mark, I mean, they,
yeah, I mean, you would think some
USA.
Josh Duhamel and Fergie. I mean, of course, I'm dreaming here. But,
yeah, right.
You know, but okay,
Paul
let's.
O'Neill's hosting the damn thing.
Well, they're going to tune in to see me and Nelson and Stephanie Sloan from Soap Opera Digest. It's going to spike the ratings. You know, I won't take a pay cut either when I come back, Luke.
Oh, okay.
Let's go ahead.
Judith Chapman would have been amazing.
Yes, hide the vodka.
Judith Chapman and Jen Luke here hosting this thing.
Let's talk about the outstanding lead actress race. This is a genre aimed at women, and we're four men talking about it. So let's talk about outstanding lead actress. The nominees are Debbie Morgan for All My Children, Susan Flannery for The Bold and the Beautiful, Maura West for As the World Turns, Susan Haskell for One Life to Live, and Jeannie Cooper for The Young and the Restless. Let's start with you, Luke.
Okay.
Out of the way. No.
Let me start with Maura West. Okay, everybody knows Maura West is one of my all-time favorite actresses.
She's new Rebecca Buddy.
She is one of my all-time favorite actresses, and I think that her clips were... I mean, the fact that she included the old Jack and Carly scenes might serve her well, but I don't think that this is her year. I don't think she'll win it as much as if she does win it, I will be extremely happy. Debbie Morgan, I think, has a very good chance at winning it, but I'm going with Susan Haskell for my pick. I think that she will win it. If she doesn't win it, Jeannie Cooper will.
So you've just basically picked everybody there. You're
covering
your bases.
Well, I see the thing. I don't have enough knowledge about Debbie Morgan's, like, how Debbie Morgan plays into the voting, and that, like, her return to daytime will play into the voting. That is very. I mean, those scenes are amazing scenes. But Jeannie Cooper won it last year. This year, she had the dual role, so that gives her. I mean, it's. But Susan Haskell. So I guess I'm going with Susan Haskell, but it would not surprise me if Debbie or Jeannie won.
Luke, if there were Emmys handed out for diplomacy, Luke would win one.
Nelson, who do you think should win? Who do you think will win Best Lead Actress at this year's Daytime Emmys?
Well, this is after years of, you know, this category has lacked a lot of buzz. You know, really since Susan Lucci won this award. This category is the one to watch. This is like one of the tightest horse races I've ever seen in Daytime Emmy history. Debbie Morgan, Susan Haskell, and Jeannie Cooper are so neck and neck that I really can't make up my mind of who will really win this thing. You know, there are three powerful, visceral performances. This is what the Emmys are all about. And I'm really, really happy with, you know, the final five. This is a really good category. Jeannie Cooper won last year. She actually has a better reel this year. And her reel is amazing because they included about 20 years of flashbacks in which she played a dual role, which is kind of ironic because she never won when she played Marge the first time around, and a lot of people thought she deserved it back in the late 80s. And then she's playing Marge again, current day, in Genoa City. So she has a dual role, beautifully acted. I mean, her performances as Marge reminded me of watching, you know, a Broadway play. I mean, she was gorgeous, you know, as Marge, and of course, Kay. And because of the flashback, you actually kind of see how far Jeanne Cooper's come as an actress. It's kind of interesting, and it not in a bad way. So you have Catherine, Marge, 2008, and then you have Catherine and Marge, you know, 1987 or whatever it was. So it's kind of interesting. Tom, I think they, you know, isn't there a rule about having a certain amount of flashbacks in your reel? She had a lot of flashbacks.
There was a
rule at one point, right? You have to have, like, I don't know, like a certain, like a minute, not less than a minute.
Oh, you're serious, yes. There has to be a percentage of original new material compared to, yes, I don't know what that percentage is.
Yeah. I mean, her episode is pretty much the whole hour is her, so... you know, there was a lot of new material in it, but there was a lot of flashbacks, I have to say, which, you know, is interesting. And then, of course, you have Susan Haskell, who is in the wrong category. She, you know, was a supporting actress, I think, last year. She, you know, spent half the year in bed, you know, but toward the end of the year.
Nice work if you can get it.
I know, Kelly Monica's always in bed. Oh, did I say that?
Nelson, you know what you just made us endure.
Please send all hate mail to TV Guy Canada, not daytimeconfidential.com. But she, see, a lot of people are predicting what Jeanne and either Jeanne or Debbie, but I have to say, because I know these actors really well, and especially I know some people on the panel, Susan Haskell's Emmy reel is really what actors reveal. Her acting, her performance is what a lot of these voters aspire to. It's gut-wrenching, it's really real, and it's, even though it's, you know, the material was over the top, she found out she was in love with a rapist after having, you know, amnesia.
Would you say that like that? It's like we have Tom,
you know,
on here.
That's
when we, you know, we get so mad at the mainstream sometimes for how they think about soaps and what they say. But when you say that, it almost makes you throw your hands up. It makes you throw your hands up and say, okay. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Tom.
Yes, you left that demonic possession.
Yeah, exactly. So, Susan Haskell, I think, just the best acting out of those five reels, I think, is Susan Haskell. You know, I'd like Jeanne. I think Jeanne Cooper was the best actress of last year, and deserves this. And Debbie has a really, of course, you know, Jesse reunion scenes at the train station were really beautiful. But out of context, you know, the train scenes are great, or what Emmys are all about. But then her reel starts with a bang, and then it kind of, you know, peters out a bit when they start explaining, Jesse starts explaining, like, how he's dead for 20 years, and it's kind of ridiculous out of context, and she's just kind of reacting to him as well. So I think the powerful scenes that she had, there were very few, like, there were two, that, you know, and, of course, Susan and Jeanne dominate their episodes reel. So it'll be interesting to see, but definitely should win Jeanne Cooper, will win Susan Haskell. And Susan, of course, won in this category, supporting. And if she does win this year, she'll be 2-for-2, which is a pretty great track record. And, of course, Debbie won supporting as well, but she tied with Nancy Lee Grant. So it'll be nice if she could actually win her own Emmy and not have to share it.
My should is Debbie Morgan. I thought she was breathtaking, and I guess I am cheating. The reels, I really was impressed by her reels, but I agree with Nelson on Susan Haskell's reel. But I feel like in terms of a lead actress, Debbie Morgan led the charge back for that show in so many ways. And those scenes were just so, you know, basically emblematic of what we hoped and dreamed and had for a brief moment in time for All My Children. It's been crashed, you know, those dreams have now crashed and burned. But, so I think she should win. I think Jeanne Cooper will win. I know that, yes, the Emmy voters love that dual role, except when it's my Eileen Davidson, who did like 75 and they didn't give it to her. But so I think that Jeanne will take it again. She's the grand dame. I wanted to talk to you a bit, Tom, about Debbie Morgan, because I know, you know, I'm not as well-versed at all about movie awards as I am soap awards or daytime Emmys. Basically, I was really an expert of the Soap Opera Digest Award, if you want to be truthful. But, that was my show, you know. Big sweeping Michael Bolton music montages.
Wasn't everybody an expert on the Soap Opera Digest Awards? Because didn't Days win it every single year?
Yes,
every single category?
That's why I was happy. I didn't like the Emmys. I was like, my girls, I'm a Deirdre Hall fan, you know, and Sammy Brady. My girls
were very like Golden Globes. I always called them the Golden Globes at the daytime.
And I wanted to know who the best vixen was, okay? Let's work. I wanted to talk to you about Debbie Morgan a bit, because I remember when she did Eve's Bayou, there was a lot of buzz about her, and she didn't get the nomination, right? I'm thinking she wasn't nominated for that, was she?
No.
Do you think that, like, say, Debbie is mainstream, and a lot of, you know, Nelson has hipped me to how a lot of soap actors vote, and do you think that maybe, you know, some of their aspirations to mainstream cred might help Debbie in this, since she's had success outside of daytime?
You know, it all comes down to, when you get into things like Oscars, it all comes down to who has a campaign and who doesn't. For example, speaking of African-American artists, Monique from the movie, you know, that was a big hit at Sundance. Now, that's kind of the gritty ghetto movie that would never, ever get before Academy voters, the Beverly Hills snooty crowd, who just doesn't want to be reminded that there are have-nots out there, and of a different races and colors and likenesses in themselves. But that suddenly became so cool, hit Sundance. Now it has Oscar campaigners behind it. Now Monique has a real chance to be nominated and win Best Supporting Actress. But if she didn't have the Oscar campaign, and it wouldn't happen. Now that's not a phenomenon that exists at the daytime or primetime Emmys. Although, if you wonder why Mad Men is doing so well and Breaking Bad in the primetime Emmys, it's because there is a case of where there is a campaigner involved, a man named Murray Weissman, who invented Oscar campaigning with Harvey Weinstein and got pushed aside. And now, and had also been head of the public relations for the TV Academy and was fired. And so he came back with an agenda to kick butt and take over the town again and show everybody that the premises of Oscar campaigning can translate into primetime Emmys. And it worked. And so we saw this amazing sweep by AMC shows last night. Now, that, of course, never happens at the daytime Emmys, because no one's going to put up the money for such campaigns. But back to your Debbie question, not a prayer unless there's a major Oscar consultant behind her.
Yeah. And okay, let's not forget, a lot of the primetime actors who work in daytime fail to get a nomination, like Patrick Duffy and Ted Shackelford. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of a resentment there. And because, you know, Ted was amazing in his reel this year. I think it's important to know that Debbie Morgan is the first African-American lead actress Emmy nominee. So her,
is she really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she's pretty historic.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, let's face it. I mean, African-American women have never really dominated the soaps, you know. Rarely anyone to pick from, you know. It's kind of a historic year for her.
Wow, okay. All right, well, let's go on to some of these show categories. Let's start with Outstanding Drama Series Directing Team. The nominees are All My Children, Days, and One Life to Live. Nelson.
This is going to come down to special effects versus old school directing. AMC has that damn CGI tornado, which is amazing, gorgeous. But, you know, I don't know how much directing was really involved in that, you know, stunt episode. You know, I think AMC will win this because of that, and, you know, everyone who works in daytime aspires to work in primetime and film, so anything that resembles, you know, primetime and film, they throw their support towards that show. General Hospital and Wine are historically always dominate in this category, and they're not nominated. One Life to Live has the best directors in daytime. They won last year. I can't remember what they submitted in this category. I think it's who wants to be Shane Marasco's father episode.
Yes, it's so you think you can be Shane Marasco's father.
Yeah, so, you know, they taped in the Millionaire Studios, and it was really well done, and I Larry Carpenter is really revered in the industry. So should win One Life to Live, I think, but will win in All My Children.
Let's go with you, Luke. Who do you think will win Outstanding Drama Series Directing Team?
I'm giving it to the same as Nelson. All My Children will, One Life to Live should. ABC has perfected the art of CGI wins.
Yeah.
Dear God in heaven, as Catherine Chancellor would say.
There were cars flying in the air. I mean, it was a great visual episode. I do have to say, I liked the helicopter CGI episode way better at Angie and Jesse's wedding. I thought that was like the coolest thing I've ever seen in daytime, and I think they should have submitted that for best show and best directing.
Well, for my money, it's Days of Our Lives. It was the only one that combined the bells and whistles that Brian Franz thinks this industry needs with real gritty emotion for me. I loved So You Think You Can Be Shane Marasco's Father, but it's such a gimmicky side episode for me that it didn't really, you know, showcase what One Life to Live is. For me, the day's plane crash with all those characters staying in character as they face their mortality was pretty amazing stuff for Days. Yeah, Tom, we've talked about what daytime Emmys can do for actors. We, you know, poor directors, they don't get much, you know, much praise in, you know, from soap fans or soap bloggers and stuff. Can a daytime Emmy help a daytime director land prime time in film work?
Sure, absolutely. That shows that they passed a certain milestone test, but we'll never know which ones factored into the career jumps of this or that person because it's always so subtle. But absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk about Outstanding Drama Series Writing Team. The nominees are All My Children, The Bold and the Beautiful, General Hospital, and One Life to Live. Nelson, I know this is a big one for you. Who do you want to win?
Maria Rena Bell. She's not nominated. This is, you know, definitely the biggest snub in recent Emmy history. You know, Weinar came back in Fighting Form last year thanks to Maria Rena Bell. She gave the soap fans what they wanted. The vets on the front burner. Mined the past, but spun, you know, the storylines in sort of new directions, which is pretty hard to do. Unfortunately, she's not nominated. You know, everyone's talking about Bradley Bell, who's nominated. He's never been nominated Best Show and Best Writing at the same time. I think the Academy's going to give, I mean, I hope they're going to give Brad the Writing Emmy and not the Best Show Emmy. You know, I know this means a lot to him. I think he's always felt that, you know, the industry hasn't really respected him, not because BMB is campy, but because he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he inherited his legacy from his father. And I do think he deserves his career, and I do think he deserves his Emmy nomination. I think he should have won a couple of years ago for Stephanie's childhood abuse story, but he lost since that year, which is shocking to me. But sometimes in the Oscars or the Emmys get things wrong. You know, they're always latent. It's like, you know, Nicole Kidman didn't win for Moulin Rouge, but she won for The Hours. And, you know, there's always this sort of latency. Heath Ledger won for Dark Knight and not Brokeback Mountain. So hopefully the Emmy Awards will rectify this mistake. Give Brad his Emmy and we can all move on with our lives. you know, it's interesting. Susan Flannery claimed that he said that once he wins this Emmy, he's going to retire. I find that hard to believe. She may have just been paying him back, which she said she was going to retire. One Life to Live, hand it in. After a spectacular year, they handed in that Shane Marasco game.
Oh, I know. It's like, what were they thinking?
I don't know. I'm going to slap Ron next time.
It was a cute episode, but my God. You know, I am going to probably make all of our General Hospital fans that are ready to storm ABC upset with my will. Well, I think that The Bold and the Beautiful should win for the storm suicide sequences and Katie receiving Storm's heart. But I think General Hospital will win for Michael getting shot.
Really?
It was, I do. I think it was the biggest story of the year. It's like it's so much has happened since then. But if we look back, it just like it polarized the definitely at least the internet community. And it really offered some powerful, powerful acting. And, you know, GH is known for this type of stuff. And I could see GH winning it. I wouldn't be surprised, especially since One Life to Live put up such, you know, something like that against it. And but B&B could take it. But I think it'll be GH.
Let me actually just say that Bold and Beautiful should win, and Bold and Beautiful will win, hopefully. I forgot to summarize that.
Okay, well, we have one more category, but before that, Nelson, you have helped us in the soap blogger community come up with the term that we all would not be able to adequately describe less than stellar acting without it. So before we get to our last category, we cannot leave out this all-important category, outstanding achievement in hairstyling. Who gave us the best hair models? Was it the Bold and the Beautiful, General Hospital, or Passions?
Oh, Passions, hands down. that's hair model city. An actor just emailed me recently, and he said, I have a new term for hair models. He calls it now German Expressionism, which I kind of funny. Because there's been a lot of German Expressionism on my show lately. I thought it was really funny. So I'm going to try to make that popular now.
Let's hope Passions wins the Emmy. For our Passion fans that, you know, routinely rip us to shreds on DC because we did not give that show the love that it should have been afforded, we hope that Passions wins the outstanding achievement in hairstyling. Yes, we do.
And this is the only category that Passions submitted themselves in this year.
And they're truly deserving.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Why not? I can do some hair stuff. You see those ice sculptures on top of Melanie Thomas Scott's head?
Let me just correct my best writing. Should be One Life to Live and will Bold and Beautiful, because, you know, Ron did write a spectacular show last year, of course, based on his reel. You know, B&B will should win.
Let's go on to the final category, Outstanding Drama Series. The nominees are All My Children, The Bold and the Beautiful, and Days of Our Lives.
Wow.
Is this a time when we can just, have fantasy nominations? I mean, it really comes down to that.
Yeah, Tom, these are the three worst shows of last year, you know. They submitted the three episodes, the only one episode that was great last year. At least they knew what to submit, but these were the three most. They struggled all last year, so it's just like head scratcher that YNR,
Wow. And
to Live were not nominated, which were the two best soaps last year. And YNR has always been nominated in this category, you know? I think this is the one time they weren't nominated, which I don't know if that was a message to Maria Rena Bell, but because Maria wasn't nominated, I think, you know, this will give Brad Bell a better chance at winning. I mean, I was really impressed with the three episodes. You know, at first, I think everyone was going, what the fuck happened? But when I saw the episode reels, you know, I could see how they were nominated. And I think Bold and Beautiful should win. I know some voters on the panel, and they squealed to me that everyone loved and voted for AMC.
I can promise you.
Sorry?
I can promise you AMC will win this. That's just what that's this type of
and we'll never be rid of Chuck Pratt.
Exactly. That is why this show will win. We will never get rid of Pratt ever again because it will win the Emmy.
And the industry shoots themselves in the foot because, you know, when stunt episodes, plot-driven crap, wins an Emmy, then, you know, we're never going to see character-driven stories and you know.
Right.
So these people who are voting for this crap, you know, are screwing their own future. They're actual, like, we don't work for the daytime, you know, community. They're actually fucking with their career.
Well, it's like you mentioned that there's so much of a spirit of the grass is greener with a lot of the actors and wishing they were in primetime or movies. And so they vote for these spectaculars, which is not what daytime does best. And I know Melissa Reeves, before she left Days the last time, she talked about that, about how daytime was always better when it was just mom and grandma sitting across the table talking about which boy she was going to pick. That's when it was popular. Daytime, I love action movies. You know, I just saw G.I. Joe. It was amazing. But daytime can never compete with that for me. It always looks like a bad video game. Kelly Monaco with her boobs hitched up hanging off of a bridge looks like a bad video game. And they're never going to be able to compete with primetime with that or film. And I don't know why they keep trying. And it really does. I really do believe that it's people that really wish they were working in primetime and film. So they try to turn this industry into something it was never meant to be. I don't think Agnes or Erna ever envisioned, you know, daytime being a
step
this.
Up to the plate and tell us what you really think. So I'm sick of her, you know, defending these assholes who have destroyed her shows. You know that she's like drinking 8 bottles of whiskey, watching All My Children, remembering the good old days, and seeing these two hacks, you know, run these two ABC shows.
Well, she's probably watching primetime Mad Men and True Blood and seeing all her heirs apparent on primetime. Went ahead, because that's what primetime has done. They took what daytime did best and continued it. I mean, the spirit of daytime lives on, and, you know, not just in, you know, shows that we would think like Desperate Housewives or, I mean, but every continuing drama, you know, owes, you know, a nod to those women, but except the 8 that are, you know, well, at varying times, YNR and One Life to Live, but
going to repeat what happened last year. Last year, One Life to Live submitted a societal scene. They won that for best writing. Ron won that. You know what? They didn't submit those episodes for best show last year. But anyway, One Life to Live deserved to have won the best show award. And maybe even YNR. But we were all shocked when General Hospital won for their latest explosion. You know, and so this is what's going to happen. B&B should win. They have everything. Great directing in the episode. Great writing. Great actor and great acting. Catherine Kelly Lang was amazing, phenomenal. I can't believe she didn't submit that episode for best actress. She's an idiot, and should not be allowed. Should be legally prohibited from ever choosing her own Emmy reels from now on. B&B has it all: writing, acting, great directing. You know, it's a suicide episode, and it's pretty controversial. It was a controversial storyline, so they have that kind of buzz. But, you know, AMC's going to take it for CGI. There's no acting in AMC's reel. There's no real directing, and there's no writing in it. So if that's what the industry is going to honor, if this is what is emblematic of daytime, no wonder it's dying. So,
Now, Tom, before we let you go, because we know you're a busy man, we want to talk to you a little bit about some of the other categories that, because you've been so quiet having to listen to us soap nuts.
I love the rants. You guys are great. We have to have an Emmy category just for best Emmy rant.
Yes. Oh, gosh, that would be so much fun. Let's talk about. Hey, we'll definitely do the campaign. We'll spare no expense. Outstanding talk show entertainment. Let's talk about that a little bit. The nominees are Live with Regis and Kelly. We just can't get away from soaps. Rachel Ray and The Ellen DeGeneres Show. What are your thoughts on who should take that prize?
Well, I haven't seen these episode submissions, but Ellen just wins automatically every year, doesn't she? She actually lost last year, didn't she? She lost something?
Yeah. Rachel won. Yeah, I think Rachel won.
Rachel won, yeah. I don't know. I don't
know.
It's
funny
really
how the talk shows are actually mirroring what's happening in soaps. I mean, you know, the people who are deserving of the talk show Emmys aren't winning either.
Mm-hmm.
Or being nominated like The View. So it's kind of actually spread throughout the industry.
I imagine in this case, you know, Rachel could win again because she's got that chumminess and that best friend thing that Ellen's got going on, but you actually learn something on her show. It's not just being warm and fuzzy and aren't we all fabulous sitting around in sweaters and sneaks like on Ellen. You're actually learning how to make the salsa dip on Rachel.
Well, hey, I think Ellen has taught a lot of people how to do the Bankhead Bounce dance. But Let's talk about outstanding talk show hosts. The nominees are Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa for Live with Regis and Kelly, Rachel Ray for Rachel Ray, Barbara Walters, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and Sherry Shepherd for The View, and Ellen DeGeneres for The Ellen DeGeneres Show. What are your guys' thoughts on that category?
Well, I think it's always interesting, and a lot of us award watchers know this, which is when handicapping these awards for hosts, you can automatically throw out the multiple host contenders. And the reason for that seems to be that because these show business awards are all about hugs, this is the industry honoring itself, telling us who's in and who's out of the club, who we love and who we don't. It's kind of hard to get your arms around all those bitches from The View, you know, but literally. But when you water it down to one person, the solo person, you know, Ellen gets the hug or Rachel gets the hug, but Regis and Kelly, no, they don't have a prayer. And The View gals, no.
Yeah. Wow. Multiple hosts never really win in this category. I don't think they've ever really won because, you know, the logic is, you know, if you're hosting a show by yourself, you're doing more work. You know, you're carrying the entire show. And with The View, there's always been someone who's, you know, everyone hates Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and I think, you know, they don't want her to be honored, which is stupid. But, you know, The View deserves it, and I would love to see them win this award this year. It's interesting to note that everyone really submitted these presidential episodes. Even Live with Regis and Kelly submitted their Halloween episode where they dressed up as the presidential nominees. Ellen had a presidential, theme too as well. And of course, The View submitted the John McCain stuff.
Well, the outstanding morning program, the nominees for that are Good Morning America, The Early Show, and The Today Show. Any thoughts on that category?
Wasn't this the first year they've actually done it this way? Or no, this is the second?
They did it last year, I think, the first time.
They did it last year, okay.
Yeah.
So again,
well, they remember Live put themselves on the morning show last year, and they didn't get a nomination, and then they returned back to the talk show. Sometimes these strategies don't work, you know, when you try to, you know, you don't put yourself in the right category. Usually it does not work. It's better to stick where you belong.
And we don't.
Who won last year? Wasn't it Today? I think it was the Today Show, right?
I am not sure. I always go for my glass of lemonade when the soap ones aren't on. But considering we run a blog called Daytime Confidential, and with the state of daytime, we better brush up on some of this stuff. So the nominees for Outstanding might be Shocking Story about Christina's Court 2 years. Who will be the new
Saturday morning cartoon in our cover?
I know. It's like we'll be podcasting about Judge Hatchett. Who is nominated for Outstanding Legal Program? The nominees are Christina's Court, Family Court with Judge Penny, Judge Hatchett, Judge Judy, and The People's Court. I didn't even know all these judge shows were on. I love Judge Judy because she's mean and hateful. So,
yeah, I love Judge Judy. Exactly. She just lets them have it, you know?
Yeah. It's like soaps are dying, but judge shows are doing very well, it looks like.
Yeah.
I guess,
I don't think Judy's ever won, has she?
No, she hasn't.
Yeah, because I think that I heard her kvetching about it on The View one time.
See, you know, that there's your Susan Lucci story. Come on, Nelson, get it out there.
Yeah.
And then we have the Lifetime Achievement Award, which will go to Sesame Street. I'm hearing there's going to be some drama with that because Miss Piggy is refusing to take her pay cut.
Well, thank God she's standing up for principle. I'm poor.
Yeah, I would love it if Melody Thomas-Scott and Miss Piggy presented it together. Miss Piggy's gorgeous. What are you talking about?
Yes, Miss Piggy is awesome. Back before, I mean, who cares about? I mean, all the stink that was made about Cliff and Angie on All My Children. I mean, Miss Piggy has been in an interspecial romance for, 30 years? Talk about groundbreaking. Let's see the Nuke Boys date a frog, okay? So
she should host this. She could have been a great host.
Exactly. And Elmo, I mean, God, he could have been in Best Younger Actor for 20 years now. Okay. Anyway, I'm rambling. So we have enjoyed having you guys on for this Emmy Predictions episode of Daytime Confidential. We will be posting this on the blog, and we'll be putting up links to Tom's books, and we encourage everyone to run out and buy them, and basically to support these Emmys this year, because everyone's telling us if they're not watched, it could be the last time we see them. So
and
thank you.
Let's give a shout out and I'll like pray and send our support to Andrew Miller for Imaginary Bitches.
Yes.
Nominated.
Yes, most coaches. Definitely.
So yes, yes, yes.
I think he'll win too. So
that guy will be winning a primetime Emmy in no time soon. So Tom, we thank you so much for being with us. Nelson, it's been a pleasure. Thanks,
guys.
Had
thank
a blast.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.